Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show with John and Tamaya. And that's right. Ain't no stopping us now because we on a move. And when I say we on a move, we on a move. All right. So much for that. I'm going to go ahead on and bring Miss Tamaya on. And Miss Tamaya going to bring our special guest on. Go ahead, Miss Tamaya.
Thank you for that, Mr. Brown. Welcome to Uplifting Communities Talk Show, everyone. My name is Tamaya Gaines, and today is February 21st, 2021. Now, before I get started, I have to give a special birthday shout-out to my brother, Tommy Gaines, on Facebook, known as 111 Gaines. I don't know where he got that name from, but anyway, my brother, happy birthday. And also, Son Williams and my cousin Lonnie. Happy birthday to you all. And, and a special shout-out from Uplifting Communities Talk Show. I want to mention something that happened to me last night. Last night, as I laid down, I was dreaming, and there was images dancing in my head, and it was my time to be alone. I spent a long time in another world. It's all routine. I've seen pass for those years before. I put down my defenses, and I'm on my way to finding out what love's all about. If you like those lyrics, not exactly verbatim, but if you like those lyrics, you're going to love our next guest. Our next guest is Craig Coleman, ASCAP Award winner and acoustic guitarist. Welcome, Craig Coleman, to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show.
Hi, good morning, Tamaya. How you doing?
I am good. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. So it's very interesting when I was listening to your intro and I heard those words. I'm going, those words sound really familiar.
They ought to.
I'm going like, wait a minute. That was weird.
Yeah, you're dreaming.
Yeah, I know. I'm going like, wow. But those words sound really familiar. Oh,
yes.
You know that one. You did.
Yes.
Yo, another quick thing, your intro music is really funny. That was actually, I was in a band called the Brick House Show Band, and that was one of the songs we used to do, Ain't No Stopping Us Now. And, it was great to reflect back on that song. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with that song. It's a great song.
Oh,
yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Coleman, go ahead and let's get the show started.
You can call
Why
me Craig.
You tell the audience? Craig, okay.
You can call me Craig, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Craig. Why don't you go ahead and tell the Uplifting Community audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a guitarist, composer, singer, and I started playing in 1972. And I started playing acoustic music. And, from early on, I felt like music was kind of what I wanted to do in my life, among other things. And so I started, playing guitar in 1972. And then shortly thereafter, I started writing music and then just did the usual, playing in clubs and learning music. And it brought me to this place where, I'm doing it professionally also. So it's just been a great journey.
Wow. 1972, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I checked out some of your pictures online, and you don't look a day over 26, so,
Yeah. I'm well preserved.
Oh, okay.
Let's put
very
it that
good.
Way.
Very good.
Yeah,
well,
well
you
preserved.
Take care of yourself.
I got good
very
genes.
Well. Very
yeah,
well.
Yeah, not too,
good.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's great when you can really say that you preserved yourself very well. Like Tamayo,
yeah.
I thought Tamayo was about 19 years old.
not quite,
young,
but my club
sure.
age is 26. So,
yeah.
All right.
Oh, wow.
So, I know that's a completely separate show. Separate show. All right.
Yeah.
So, Craig, I also read somewhere that you were a military brat. Is that correct?
That's correct. Uh huh. My father was in the armed forces. He was in the
mm-hmm.
army, and he started in Officers Candidate School, OCS, and became enlisted as an officer. And at the time he retired, he was a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. So back in those days, him being a black officer was pretty tough. And, you know, also getting to the rank of lieutenant colonel in the United States Army was pretty monumental also. So a great man, no doubt. So.
Oh, well, congratulations to your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's no longer
also,
with us, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
yeah, yeah.
The late Mr. Coleman.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Most military brats, they get lessons in humility early on in life. What lessons
oh, yeah.
of humility did you experience early on in life, and how has that helped you in your career today?
Well, mostly I think it's taught me about accepting people for who they are, and I'm not afraid of people. I think just meeting people all over the world and all different types of personalities and character types is allowed me to be just more giving and understanding to people and just,
mm-hmm.
you know, being caring about them as people, you know, pretty much.
And that's important when you're uplifting your community, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be supportive with what they do and loving, hopefully, with what they do. And yeah, I think it's important.
Absolutely. Mr. Brown, do you have any questions?
Yes. You say you wrote your first song in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
What was the
mm-hmm.
name of the song, and what type of music was it? Was it rock or?
It was. I started playing acoustic guitar, so it's more folk music. You know, popular folk music, sort of like Joni Mitchell, that kind of music, and the great acoustic songwriters of that time. And you know, I was 15 to 16 years old, so of course the music was about love and a girlfriend and all that kind of thing. But it was, you know, a lot of songs. And interestingly, what I've come to know over these years I've been playing and writing is that there's a lot of songs about love. And, you know, it's very interesting. There's more songs about that type of thing than are, you know, anything else. So, it was a love song, the very first song, obviously. So, and it's always therapeutic to be able to write, because that's another outlet for us to, as songwriters, to have that outlet of being able to write our thoughts and share those thoughts too, because typically there's a lot of people that relate to that, because we're all one. And so one person's emotion, one person's experiences typically is going to be a lot of people's experiences. So you have that that point of synergy and of understanding that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
oh,
why
so
did you choose the acoustic guitar as opposed to an electric guitar or one of the other variations?
Well, I started on acoustic guitar primarily because of simplicity. Acoustic guitar is very, very generic, very, you don't need any electricity for it. It just basically is a very natural instrument, and you can take it anywhere without having to haul a bunch of equipment. Because nowadays, getting into the electric, I've spent much more money than I ever I probably spent enough money to buy a house over the 50 years I've been playing. So it's, you know, it's just more simplistic to start on electric, I mean, acoustic, excuse me. And a lot of people do. That's where they start, is on acoustic guitar.
Gotcha.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, now what about ASCAP? You was an award-winning popular songwriter at, ASCAP. Who is ASCAP? Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. How I got into ASCAP was primarily I was being managed early on in my career as a songwriter, and the manager signed me up. He was an ASCAP member, and in order to acquire royalties and be paid for music that is on radio or TV or whatever, ASCAP is a licensing agency that basically handles all of the finances for tracking your airplay. So let's say hypothetically, if I had a song on the radio, ASCAP, what they do is they figure out every city that plays my song at a certain time of day, then they have a formula that equates and calculates how much money I should get for that airing of my song. So they kind of oversee that, you know, so you can imagine how many artists they're tracking all over the world, you know, for airplay. So whether it's airplay or television or movies or whatever, they track all that airplay. And so that's he got me signed up for it. And so that's how I got started in ASCAP.
Alrighty, and are you all? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
I just was gonna say you must have did pretty good to be an award winning songwriter. You know.
Well, basically what happened with that is that every year back in 1996 and 97, and ASCAP at that point in time had a category called Popular Songwriter. And these were songwriters that were not songwriters, let me say, how can I put this, major songwriters. They were new and upcoming songwriters. And so what they would do, they would, you know, listen to your music, and they would give you an award, a public award, and they'd also would give you a monetary compensation for that award. And so for 1996 and 97, I won the award 2 years in a row. So that's how, you know, you just basically submit the music, and then they give you an award for it.
Okay, well, it has to be pretty good, you know. Okay, go ahead, Tamara.
Well, you know, I do what I do.
All righty. So ASCAP as well as BMI are both basically registries, right? Can you briefly describe for our listeners who are aspiring artists, right, describe the song submission process? And briefly explain how they can monetize that process and the differences between the two agencies if you're registered with both BMI and ASCAP.
Well, it's my understanding you typically are just registered with one. There's also CSAC. CSAC is in Canada, I believe. So those are the major licensing agencies. So basically, you would basically just go online and you would submit, and this was many, many years ago, and I actually didn't actually do the application process. My manager did it at that point in time. So to be clear, I didn't actually do the process. He basically signed me up and, you know, went from there. But going online, I've been online recently within the last couple of years, and my understanding is basically you have to go online on the ASCAP website and basically submit your songs. I would imagine you would need some type of audio. You'd need some type of legal verification that the music is actually yours by having a copyright on that song. You know, some type of audio and lyrics, if you know that's applicable. So everything in the music business, you have to be legal. And there's a lot of discrepancy and mixed messages about what constitutes a copyright. A lot of people want to do it old school and mail it to themselves or all that kind of thing. That's not the best way to handle it, because in the case where you ever had to prove in a court of law if the song is actually yours, then you would need to have it copyrighted through the Library of Congress. And that would be the best way to do it, because as we know, a lot of people have been sued for copyright infringement because of, you know, a few words or a musical section of a song that someone else did previously, and they either sampled it or, you know, did some type of duplication of it. And so to prove that the actual song is actually yours, it's always good to copyright that. And they give you a copyright number and all that kind of thing. I'm going through the process right now of copywriting a song that I just really originally wrote with my wife. And so the best way to protect yourself in that case, because you never know if your song is going to be famous or not. So,
right.
You know, protecting yourself in the whole music business is really important. So,
very good. And speaking of your wife, hello, Nikki. I don't know if she's nearby, but I did meet you guys. Beautiful wife, by the way. Great looking couple.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I did see where I believe it was on your wife's social media page. You both performed a Christmas song here recently. Was that an original song?
Oh, yeah.
I don't recall hearing that. And
no,
are
it was
you guys
not.
It wasn't. Okay.
No,
okay.
It was not.
All right.
Yeah, we did mashup or a group of songs that we arranged ourselves. This basically was a Christmas song. We did O Holy Night and just did two or three songs that we just kind of did it ourselves we originally did it for her mother. Her mother, you know, loves us and likes to hear us sing. So we originally just did it for her. And, you know, we always like to, you know, do stuff together. And so that was kind of where it started.
Gotcha.
That's great. I mean, it's great. You know what always confused me? I was in the military too. Okay, but I've known people that was in the military, and their fathers was in the military at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And they was high rank. Their fathers was high rank. It's, you know, just like your father was. But you know, now,
what
do you claim? Do you claim like if somebody asks you where you from? What you tell me? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I know. So funny. That's a great question. I usually go with where I was born, which I was born on the East Coast in Eatonton, North Carolina. So that's why I usually claim where I was born. Even though from the time I was about 7 years old, I started moving all over the world, but. That's where I claim is North Carolina, where I was born.
Yeah, okay. So you claim North Carolina. Yeah, the reason why I ask, because a lot of people, you know, come from families that was in the military, and they went all over the world, like you say, you know.
Right.
You know, and how was it traveling? Tell the audience about that, about your traveling experience. How was that?
Well, you know, it was awesome. It really was. You know, that's something that a lot of people don't do, where they can travel all over the world. We lived in Germany for 3 years, and my parents had the foresight, and they loved to travel. So while we were there in Germany, we did excursions to France and London and Switzerland. They had what they call American Express tours, where we would book a trip and would be on the bus. And the bus would, you know, take us to different sightseeing sites. And, they, you know, it was all-inclusive. You know, you got the bus and the hotel and food and all that kind of stuff, all-inclusive in the package. And so I was lucky that my parents liked to travel, so I was able to, you know, not just live in Germany as a high school student and go to school there, but also we got to travel to different countries and, you know, see the world that way. So it was, you know, an experience of a lifetime, obviously. So that was a great thing about it.
Yeah. I mean, did you, you know, like, I don't want to jump in that in that category, but I want to ask that. I need to ask that. You as a black person going to living in Germany, for example, did you experience any type of what I would say, what we would call prejudice down here in the United States, or, you know, people looked at you different because of the color of your skin?
Question. Right. I think it's a great question. And in my blog, I have a blog called My Life as a Black Rock Musician. And it's multiple chapters. Right now, I'm up to chapter 23. And I'm just going to keep doing the chapters until, you know, I get up to contemporary time. But I go through some of my experience in Germany. And so one of the things that happened between the old school Germans or the older Germans and the younger Germans is that, you know, during the wars, you know, back then, of course, there was some prejudice, you know, and this is what I gathered. The young Germans, they didn't like Hitler at all. They really disavowed Hitler for that matter. And so what the stories were, and back in the, and this is what I was told, you know, no grounding in truth, but what I was told is that the older Germans, when the black soldiers were there, they told the German nationals that the black soldiers had tails, you know, tails coming out of their, you know, out of their rear. So, you know, a lot of the older Germans, you know, I guess some of them did. I can't say all of them, but there was that myth going on. The younger Germans pretty much were very, very much open to, you know, the people. I was, you know, the first year that we moved there, which was in 1970, we lived in government housing on base, but the second year we moved out into the country, out into the where the other German people live. So we actually were out actually in the country, and my neighbors all around us were German, and I had three very, very close German friends that I used to go out and hang out with, and they were very loving, very caring, never had any problem with the kids at all. So I think just, you know, overall, I did not experience any of that.
From
what I know, it's just that, like I said, it was basically history. Like I said, you know, the older generation maybe had some issues, but I never felt like personally I was looked. It wasn't open racism. It might have been there. I'm sure, you know, racism is all over the world, so there's nothing you can do about that. But I did not see any obviously overt racism for me. So.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, thing, I learned something this morning. I've been Westpac, okay, when I was in the military. And I remember being in Okinawa and hearing the stories that, oh, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, well, you didn't hear the stories over there then, you know, about about blacks growing, black soldiers having tails.
Oh, yeah, you know, in okay.
I thought it was just in over there, Westpac. You know, I never thought it was, you know, around Germany and stuff like that. They were saying that. I never thought that.
Yeah.
I learned stuff today. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We were in Camp Cooey back. This was in 1968. We were in Okinawa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you was in Okinawa in 68? Wow,
in
I just got in the military.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, wow. Go ahead, Tamaya.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I was feeling a little bit left out of that conversation because I've never been to Okinawa. So I want to get back to Craig and his guitar, okay?
Okay. Oh, okay, shit. Sure. Hey, no worries about that. Love you for that. Love you for that.
This conversation, okay? Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
come on
so,
in.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the invite. Okay. So, Craig, most musicians have there's a special relationship between a musician and his guitar, his or her guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Describe your relationship with your guitar.
Hmm. Well, I have a few. So, I have very love and hate relationships with various guitars. I mean, the guitars I have assembled, you know, obviously there's some I play more than others. And depending on what I'm doing, like I'm going to be going into the studio later with my wife. We've written our first song together, and we're in the in processes of recording it. It's a kind of a new country type of song, more like, you know, kind of Carrie Underwood. So it's new country. More or less. But like I said, each guitar I have a different relationship because basically I use the guitar for a certain – each guitar, whether it's electric or acoustic, has its own personality and its own tonal structure, that kind of thing. So, of course, depending on what I'm going to be doing, what type of music I'm going to be playing, that's the guitar I'm going to use. So there are certain guitars I'm much more close with because I play them more. But it's definitely, you know, it's an extension of myself. So that's pretty much it. It's pretty much a sentiment. I have a very close relationship with – I'm looking at them right now. I have a very close relationship with probably three of them.
So. Three relationships. Okay, with your guitars, and so I mean this in the most PG type of way for those who are listening,
okay.
Right?
Okay, absolutely.
The fingering process.
Right. Right.
Why is the fingering so important when it comes to strumming a guitar?
Strumming. You said
strumming
the guitar? Strumming,
fingering.
Oh.
What do you call it?
Okay.
Stringing a guitar.
As far as playing it? You mean as far as playing it? When you string it, that's when you take strings off and put strings on. So it's a different thing. When you're actually playing the guitar, strumming. Yes, you're strumming the guitar.
Okay.
Use a pick. So strumming. So, okay, so go back to your question again. I'm sorry.
Okay, so then what is fingering?
Fingering
is
your left hand. Fingering is when you actually use your left hand to put your fingers down on particular different string and different parts of the neck to give different tones and pitches and sounds. So, you know, each string has its own pitch, its own tone.
Uh-huh.
You have six of them.
Uh-huh.
So each string has its own pitch and tone, and so you depress the string up against the fretboard or the neck of the guitar. You depress it, and then that's why it's the difference between guitar and a violin, let's say. Guitar is very, very finite. So you go from one note to the other. That's why they have the bars across, the steel bars across the guitar. Because you go from one note, going from one note to the other. So each bar is one note higher than the next one. So if I move my finger up one complete note, that's higher. Like on violin, there are no bars. So you have the notes in between. So you go da 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 da. That's one. That's a half step. Da da. On violin, it goes, so that those notes in between is what you find on a violin, where guitar is like da-da, and you go from one point to the other, nothing in between. So that's kind of the difference between those two particular instruments. But you know, depressing, you know, you have on your left hand, you're depressing the string, and then your right hand is actually strumming over the strings. You're using what they call a pick, and you're sweeping the strings up and down, groups of, either individually or in a group of strings together.
Gotcha. And what makes your
that
style
makes sense at all?
Unique? That makes sense.
You know, yes, yeah, that's big. You know, I have a quote, and I take this quote with me everywhere I go, and I share this quote with a lot of people because, especially in the music business today, you know, everyone wants to be an original, and I get that. And the thing, a quote, this is Carlos Santana, I read once, and it's a great quote. And I try to tell that, you know, I have a blog, I mean, I have a Facebook page called The Anatomy of the Song. And what I do is I'm sharing information about the music business, about songwriting, recording, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing is that I understand that people want to be, you know, individuals. So anyway, I'll get to the quote. The quote from Carlos Santana was, "I used to play like everybody else, and now I play like me." So what that means is that in order to get a toolbox of information, a cyclopedia of information, you have to learn from other people. And then at some point in the path, you will start creating your own voice, your own sound. And so, therefore, if you don't learn from anyone else, then you don't have a foundation from where to create your own sound. And a lot of people, a lot of musicians don't understand that, especially young musicians. The old school musicians understand that. And what we do, I mean, how I form who I am today is by listening to people I respect. You know, your Smokey Robinson, you know, all the great guitars. I spent so many hours, countless hours, going in and dissecting these songs and learning these songs and trying to play them just like the original artists. And that's, a lot of people don't do that anymore. They don't want to take the time. They want, you know, instant freedom. I mean, instant success to just think, you know, it's given to them. That sense of entitlement, which, you know, I've been playing for over 50 years, and all those 50 years I've spent, like I said, countless hours learning this stuff, okay? And that's what a lot of young people have to understand. It's not something you can do in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. Just like any other art form, it takes many, many, many years to get to that point where you actually are creating something from yourself, because you have a toolbox that you pull from, and then that, in turn, the synergy and osmosis happens, where you come on the other side being able to create your own, you know, your own thought. That makes sense. Sorry, I got a little long-winded there.
No, it's okay. That makes perfect sense, and I want to give a shout-out
to Smokey
Robinson. His birthday was a couple days ago. On the 19th,
oh, yeah.
So happy birthday to the late, well, he's not late, but to the great Smokey Robinson. I didn't realize
you
that
don't
he
do that
played
to him.
Guitar. Yeah, no, I know. We want you here for another 50 years, but I didn't realize he played guitar. Like I said, my club age is 26, so that's fascinating. That's great information.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the reasons I have my Facebook page, Anatomy of the Song, is to help, you know, just share information. I mean, I don't know everything, obviously, but there are some things I've learned over the years. And, you know, the people, I'm going to be hitting 100 members here hopefully next day or two. And I started about 3 weeks ago. So the growth has been pretty good. And the people on the site seem to be really appreciative. They like the suggestions and the advice. You know, if it rings true for you, great. You know, if you don't agree with me, that's fine too. I'm just sharing my experiences. If it rings true for you and makes sense, I try to make sense. If it rings true for you, great. If it doesn't, then that's, you know, you have to follow your own journey, your own path. But I'm out here just to kind of share the information with songwriters, and that's what the purpose of the page does, I hope. So
Nice.
That's how I'm kind of giving back. That's how I'm kind of giving back to the community and to the, you know, the world is just kind of putting that information out, because it's so funny, because nowadays, you know, I've been seeing these posts about everyone wants to know how to write a song. Teach me how to write a song. It's so funny because the old songwriters who, like myself, spent countless hours learning this stuff and cultivating how to write a song, people, again, expect to show you how to do it. No one showed us how to do it. We just did it, you know. And now with social media, I mean, it's a lot easier to be a songwriter than it was when I was starting. You know, I had to learn everything. I didn't have YouTube. You know, I didn't have any of those things to do. I had to, you know, sit in front of a cassette player and, you know, rewind, play it. Oh, I missed that part. Rewind, play it over and over and over and over again in order to learn a passage or a part of a song. And so now with YouTube, you know, someone's actually showing you how to play it, you know, the physicalness of the instrument and songwriting. So, you know, people have a lot more easy to write music and to write songs than what, you know, I did when I was, you know, learning about it. So,
yeah, I don't know if there's, I'm thinking back. I really don't know if there's any logic to songwriting, if you really want to think about it, because didn't James Brown write a song, and I think the name of the song was Please, and that was the only thing he said throughout the whole song, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. Please. And then some of these newer songs, it's like you can barely understand what they're saying. You know what I mean? It's like, what did he say? Or what did she say? So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I think it's whatever you feel, you know, let it out, because nine out of 10, somebody else is probably feeling the same way. Just like the Suicide Hotline song, you know what I mean? As long as it resonates with someone, it's a song.
And that's the thing, like you were saying about, you know, people want to write a hit song and, you know, there's many reasons why when people want to write a quote unquote hit song, they're mostly looking for money and international, you know, adulation and fame and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, really, typically there's no formula for a hit song. And from my perspective, the reason why that is because, just as you were saying, you know, some people say, I'm going to write a hit song. You don't know if a song is going to be a hit because the people that listen to your song make it a hit. For some reason, whatever you write, whether it's words or music, is going to talk to them. That's what makes a hit song, when you have, you know, millions of people saying, oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. I understand. I relate to what you're saying. And so in turn, they buy that. That's what makes a hit song. You don't say, okay, I'm going to write a hit song. And, you know, you hear stories all the time from bands and musicians, and they say, you know, that song, whatever song, you know, that was a crappy song. I hated that song, you know, and it turned out to be a major hit for them. So you don't know.
Right. Right.
All right. Okay, well, anyway, we're going to take us a little break right now, and I just want to let the audience know you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And again, I want to go ahead on and wish Mr. Tommy Gaines a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Tommy. Go out there and have a
Woo-hoo!
Good time, man. All right.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. And also, I want to give a shout out to a young lady. She lives in Oak Park. And this young lady, she's fighting against housing discrimination, police brutality. And also this lady, she's fighting for those who can't fight for themselves. Okay, so let's give her a big thank you and support her. And I got one more shout out. I very seldom shout this out, but I have to shout this out. There's a brother live up in Louisiana. His name is Tommy Cole. He's an actor and he's a writer. He played with Martin Lawrence and a lot of actors, okay? And this brother, he had been supporting the Uplifting Communities talk show for a long time, since Uplifting Community Talk Show been on air, and that's been about 5 years. Okay, and I want to say thank you, Tommy. Thank you very much for supporting Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and God bless your brother, you, and your family. Okay, back to you, Tamaya.
All righty. Well, yeah. Wait a minute, Mr. Brown. One quick question. Who is the young lady out of Oak Park? Am I the only one who knows her name?
Oh, her name is Eliza Deed. Deed. Sorry about that, Eliza. I know you're probably listening in, and I know you probably listen at the show later on if you're not listening in right now. But her name is Eliza Deed, and also she's the founder of Oak Park Speak Out. Okay, and they trying to get Oak Park together because, you know, it's just something about this young lady right here is I'm definitely, you know, would like people to support her, okay? And also, I don't know if I should give this out on the air, but I'm going to do it anyway. She has a Cash App. If you guys can support her with whatever y'all can afford, is $ Level Up Performing, okay? And this, you know, I'm going to donate a little bit to her myself because, you know, she can use, you know, some change, okay? So, Eliza, you're doing a really good job, and keep up the good work, okay? All right, back to you. Tamari, sorry about that, yo.
Yeah, and I could use some change, too. My Cash App is a... No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so back to the show. All right.
Well, if you said, I might as well put mine
change,
up
right?
there. Hey, Tommy, hey, Craig, you might as well put yours up there, too.
Yeah, come on, give me some.
I want some. Y'all want some change, too. Okay,
yeah.
Craig. From what I understand, your second career is a massage therapist. How did you go from being a musician to becoming a massage therapist? And how are those two professions related? What are the similarities?
Well, I just found out that actually now I'm a clinical massage therapist. So what that means, the difference between a regular massage therapist or a medical massage therapist or a clinical massage therapist is that we deal with chronic pain. So we are mandated and supported by hospitals to give care for people who have chronic pain. So in answer to your question, they are very similar in concept, the concept of playing music, creating music, and also massage. What is similar is that you're looking at immediate gratification. Typically, when you massage someone, you can facilitate care and facilitate change on a cellular level. Also, same thing with music. When you hear music that you enjoy, that sparks out emotion, so what's going on a cellular level is that, you know, your body's changing cellularly. Allows you to go through those emotions. So the immediate gratification is one. Just being creative. I landed on the side of massage therapy that what I've done, this might sound a little weird for those of you that aren't familiar with energy work and the concept of Reiki, which is universal energy, and the energy of, it's all part of God. And we are, as energy workers, we are allowing to affect change in people. Now, I won't get too heavy on that, but anyway, another time, another story. The massage is basically healing. We're healing people from chronic illness. So, that's what I do as my other career. I've been doing it for the last 7 years. I went to school for it, et cetera. And I love that part of my work because I am allowing to make people feel better. As a music, music does that also. You listen to a song and you feel better. And the same thing with massage. So
that's true. You're right. Either feel better or sad, because I remember way back, you know, when I was growing up, well, my family liked to listen at the blues. And my dad, and man, pops used to play that blues, and then he'd get to crying and stuff.
The blues will do it to you, that's for sure.
Hey, look here. Just look at it.
Play it right.
What the world? Yes, indeed.
You have to play it. If you play it right, yeah, I'll make you do that to you.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I forgot to say one thing when I was doing the announcement. If you guys want to join us, press 1, okay, and I'll let you in. All right? Because we got a few people on listening, and we probably got a lot of people listening, you know, on the internet and stuff like that. So if you guys want to join us, you know, and ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1. Okay. And what are you doing right now, Greg? Are you with a group right now, or are you just you and your wife are just doing music? So what are you doing right now?
Well, right now, since with the whole COVID thing, a lot of bands aren't performing, and because you know, clubs aren't opening. So when that happened, just before COVID happened last year, I was starting a new band, which never really got off the never got happened because COVID started happening. So one thing that I was lucky enough to do was to more or less reinvent myself. And so what my wife and I did over that first 3 months, because we couldn't work. My wife is a dental hygienist. And, like I said, I am a clinical massage therapist. And so when they shut Washington State down, we couldn't work. So what we did was we started doing some online concerts. We would do, you know, an hour of live music, doing, you know, covers, that kind of thing, and her singing and me playing, or, you know, me singing a few songs. She has a much better voice than I am. People much rather hear her than me, which is great because she's a great singer. So we would do that for a while. And through that process of reinventing myself, that's when I came up with my blog, which is My Life as a Black Rock Musician. And that blog will take you through my birth up until, you know, current times. And like I said, I started talking about how I grew up in Eaton, North Carolina. I talk about my mother, my father, and actually he's my stepfather. My mother remarried when I was about 7 years old. So I talk about them and my grandparents who basically took care of me the first 5 years of my life while my mother went up to nursing school in New York. Another thing I did was I started doing more marketing and promotion of my own personal music. So I have some music on Reverb Nation. So if you go on Reverb Nation and search my name, Craig Coleman Musician, you'll find some of my Reverb music on there. Also, I have 2 YouTube sites, one of which, like I said, is the My Life as a Black Rock Musician is one site. And then I have another YouTube page that has videos of my original music and the like. So that was what I basically did over that first 3 or 4 months, was to reinvent myself, because, you know, even now we're still not playing up here in Washington. And so I'm kind of doing a combination of my regular job, my real job, which is the massage therapist, and my wife and I are writing our first song together, like I said earlier. And so we're just, you know, keeping busy in music until things start coming, coming back in the music community here. So.
Yeah. This pandemic, it just slapped a lot of people in the face, man. You know,
absolutely.
And having to,
especially those people.
You know.
Yes, especially those people who actually use it for a living. That's who got really affected. I have some very, very close friends that's what they did for a living. And so, they lost their income. So.
Right. I mean, you're right. You know, and especially those that was going out there playing in clubs and, doing
mm-hmm.
concerts and things like that, man. I mean, it just took a toll on them,
Yeah.
It's sad. Well, we got about 9 minutes left on the
okay.
Show, so I'm letting everybody
okay.
know if you guys want to say anything to or ask Craig a question or just elaborate on something, press 1, and I will let you in. But, Craig, now, if you had anything positive to tell the audience, what would it be?
Well, I would just say, just try to be a good person, try not to get into the drama and not being taken in by everything that happens. I know it's kind of difficult to do that sometimes. The reason why I think I have a pretty good attitude about life and about, everything is that I have a saying, try not to sweat the small stuff, I just try to be good to people. And, not do things that are, obviously bad to them or detrimental to them. I just try to be a good person. I mean, Michael Jackson, he's a great, great person. And one of the songs that really come to mind about him and is so true is the song, Man in the Mirror. I mean, that's what it comes down. It starts with you and it goes outward. So if you are, if you're the type of person that gives love and shares love, then it starts there. I mean, you only are in control, and I use that term loosely, control of your world to a certain point. But whatever control you do have, you're responsible for that control. And so for me, I just try to control what I can, and then everything else, I just kind of have to let it, let it go to the world, so that's all I got.
I've listened, very closely, at the interview that Tamaya and I did with you, and it's so interesting. You ever thought about, you and your wife, y'all ever thought about maybe writing a book or doing a documentary of your life story?
Yeah, actually, the blog, My Life as a Black Rock Musician, that's where it kind of all started. I had a friend of mine, said to me, she goes, you should write a book. I'm just going, yeah, right, sure. And then one night, the world has a way of bringing things to you. I woke up one night about 2 or 3 days after she said that. I woke up out of a sound sleep and go like, why don't I do a vlog? And that's when it all
mm-hmm.
started. So, a thought that crossed my mind. But, the thing is about the vlog is that once I complete it, and I don't, like I said, I'm going to take it up into current. I mean, I have no idea how many chapters it's going to be. It could be a good 40 or 50 chapters. So that would be the foundation for a book. If, anybody wants to take that on, but the dialogue and the narrative is already there already. Any screenwriters out there want to take it on. But, and it's so funny because, I was talking to some friends and, we were saying like, so who would play you? I'm just going like, I want Lenny Kravitz to play me.
mm-hmm.
So, I posted on Facebook. I said, if anybody, would like to see someone play me in the film adaptation of My Life as a Black Musician, who would you want to play me? And I had Lenny Kravitz, of course, Smokey Robinson. I had all these people. I mean, the thought crossed my mind, but that's, I don't know if that thing is going to happen.
I think that would be really good, you know, and especially, well, even with a documentary, you know, from your life.
Yeah.
And, because, you know, well, people need to know, you know, I mean, your story. This is really interesting. Very interesting. You know,
well,
you don't find too many people, you know, talk about they like military brats and things of that nature.
Right.
So that's I mean, it's great. It's a good story. It's
well,
something
I
that
really
people will listen
to. Well, I really appreciate, you know, you supporting that and talking about it. And, of course, bringing me on to your show. You know, I just, you know, it comes to show about life and doing things. So if you put things out there, you know, you have to be open to see what happens. I had no preconceived idea of, you know, doing the blog. I just wanted to just, you know, just put it out there with no expectations of what's going to happen. And I think that's the way the world and the universe works. You put it out there and you see what happens. And so, you know, if that ever comes, if someone said to me, hey, you should make a documentary and I'll do it, I would, you know, it'd be cool. But I, you know, I just did it just for me being a creative person. I just did it because it was fun and it was, you know, and I think, you know, the blog itself, for me, is my life. I mean, it's a little bit different perspective, obviously. You know, my travels in the world and how being a black musician in this world. I mean, there isn't a lot of us that were famous. I mean, there's, you know, like, of course, it's Jimi Hendrix. He was famous and very Reeve from A Living Color. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, there's only a large handful of bona fide black rock musicians that I know of. I mean, there's probably more, but that are famous. There aren't that many. And so
I don't know nobody.
It's kind of a club,
you know. But now I know you, and I know Jimi Hendrix, and that's about it.
Yeah,
I don't know nobody
else. There's a few. There's Vernon Reid from Living Color. He was great. But I mean, there's a lot. You know, but famous. There aren't that many famous people. So again, you know, it's about putting it out there, and if people relate to it, great. I mean, I had some very interesting things happen over my life, especially, you know, not living the typical life. You know, I was brought into this world and kind of had a different view of the world. I mean, I never was, into race. I mean, my perspective and myself is like, I'm just out there. I don't look at myself as being black, white, or whatever. I'm just myself. I'm just me.
You
know, accept me who I am. And, you know, I mean, if you want to put a label on me, that's your thing. If you want to label me, but I don't label myself. I mean, I did label the blog Black Rock Musician just as kind of a tongue in cheek. I did that kind of on purpose because, you know.
Yeah, I can understand. I can understand. Well, Tamaya, we're about ready to close the show. You got anything that you would like to say?
No, I just want to, again, thank Mr. Craig Coleman for joining us today. This interview has been quite informative and entertaining, and I just want to tell you, keep up the good work. Yep.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Morning, you guys know, have me on. You know, you guys are wonderful, and you know, I will, because you know, the alternative is not so good. So I want to keep living, you know. So so I will, you know, and you guys, you know, were awesome in thinking about me, inviting me, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on and tell.
All right. Well, with that said, you know, again, I want to thank Mr. Craig Coleman for coming on the show. And with that said, I'm going to tell everybody, go out and enjoy your day. And again, one more time, happy birthday, Brother Tommy. Brother Tommy Gang.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
All right. With that said, y'all go ahead on and y'all have yourself a beautiful day, everyone.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Bye, everybody.